Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. We have a lot to thank science for. I mean, if it hadn't been for scientists working day and night in their laboratories, mankind would never have had the benefit of such vital inventions as penicillin, atomic power, North Sea gas, and the telephone answering service. When you dial your friend, if he's out and you're connected with one of these, it's terribly embarrassing, because after you've been commanded to speak now, you realize you're talking to yourself, and you feel a right twitch.
Hello, Babs and Cyril. This is me. Charles. Yes, I mean, Charlie Gadsby. Broadcasting on your wavelength, what? Well, if you're still listening, I thoroughly enjoyed the party last night. And Babs, thank you so much for taking me outside the garage and showing me your hard top. Well, no. I was talking about her convertible. There I go again. Her new car. Incidentally, that homemade wine of yours doesn't half pack a kick like a mule. Yes, well, it certainly kicked me, as you may have noticed. Incidentally, we haven't found your dustbin yet. As I left, I tipped the contents over your neighbor's front garden. I almost got to say, thank you, Miss Polly, for our answering machine service.
My pleasure. You know you're the first person to say thank you since I was made.
But science hasn't finished yet. Fortunately, it isn't only confined to civilians. It also affects the services. Unfortunately, because of that, it affects blonde bon twits like Sub-Lieutenant Phillips. He's been flown back from HMS Trowbridge on a special course and is about to be interviewed by a team of top scientists.
And there I was, locked in the laboratory with experiment 967, oblique stroke A723, Sultan Albert. Nails. Just as I reached the key, he grabbed me around my waist and... blast. Dr. Carstairs, Sarah Ward Laboratory. Can we do what to take away, madam? This is not the Golden Gong Cash and Curry Indian restaurant. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Locked in the laboratory with experiment 967, oblique stroke A723, Sultan Albert. Nails. To my utter horror, first he undid the top button of my blouse, like this. Then he undid the second button of my blouse.
Oh, for pity's sake, do your buttons up again. We've all seen your braces.
They are not braces. They are straps. And first he slipped one strap off my
shoulder. Oh, do we have to hear it again? It happened in 1935.
Yes, but it's still very real to me. In any case, Sir Humphrey hasn't heard about it, Professor Lumley. I'm right, aren't I, Sir Humphrey?
Lumley. Lumley.
That's me.
Me? No, that's not possible. There's a living man. Lumley can't be me. I'm Sir Humphrey.
Look, as I remember it, you, Dr. Carstairs, and Sir Humphrey.
Sir Humphrey Carstairs. Yes, still doesn't ring a bell. Personally, I prefer Sir Humphrey Lumley.
Now, really, all joking aside, Sir Humphrey.
Humphrey joking. It's true. No, no, I prefer to come to London.
We really ought to get on with our interview. Now, the last candidate is Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, and he's still waiting. Now, if you remember...
I do. Every detail. I'm so ashamed. I mean, first he undid the top button.
Oh, button him up again, Dr. Carstairs. You're going to put Mr. Phillips off.
Dr. Carstairs,
Phillips. We have to decide if Mr. Phillips' intelligence is sufficiently abysmal to make him a good subject for our experiment. Now, are we all ready for him?
Oh, yes, yes. At all times.
Humphrey abysmal.
You're Ting Ting, sir? Yes, Crawford. Will you send Sub-Lieutenant Phillips in? We're ready for him now.
Yes, yes, at all times.
This way, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, sir.
Now, don't forget, everybody, the one thing the candidate mustn't suspect is that we're trying to discover just how low his intelligence is. Now, at all times, try to treat Sub-Lieutenant Phillips as if he were a normal human being.
I will. I will. Where is he?
Just come in now, sir. He's just popped into the broom cupboard for a moment.
Broom cupboard?
Yeah. I'm sorry, please. Sorry to have kept you. I didn't realize you moved into another office.
Would somebody mind looking after this mop, please? I feel it makes me look ridiculous without the bucket.
You know, I think we could be on to a winner here. Now, do sit down and be prepared to answer some simple questions.
Gosh, thanks very much.
Now then, question number one. Crawford.
Yes, sir?
Either take his mop away or fetch him his bucket. He looks ridiculous.
We're playing, sir.
What a nice chap. I do hope Mr. Crawford will look after it for me.
Crawford!
No, it's not right. No, I don't know. Lumley?
Have I told you about my terrifying experience? It was with Albert Sugden. First, he undid the top button of my blouse, I think. Then, the second button of my blouse, I...
What pretty braces. I wonder if I could get a pair like hers.
You already have, and you're a chap. Now, the first question, Mr. Phillips, and they're all on general knowledge.
I've never met him, sir. I mean... You see, being a general, he's in the army. I'm in the navy.
I was right. We are on a winner. Now, question one. Give us the definition of the word conjunction.
Now, that's easy. It's a place where lots of railway lines meet, like Clapham Conjunction.
Good, good. Now, Mr. Phillips, who was the Greek Polonius?
Well, I wouldn't be positive about this, but I think he was a mythical sausage.
Humphrey sausage. No, they're getting worse.
No, better. Mr. Phillips, can you give us a sentence containing the word summit?
Ah, now we're getting down to the tricky one. Now, don't rush me. Now, let's have a think. Now, summit. Got it. Here, Gov. Thought you ought to know, because summit's gone wrong.
Yes, excellent. Now, engineering, can you explain to the board why a whistling kettle whistles?
Ah, that's the easy one. Now, it whistles because if you should happen to be a kettle and you're sitting on a gas stove with a flame under your bottom, you can't jump up and down and shout, "Oi, mate, I'm boiling."
Oh, this is splendid. You're getting better all the time.
Gosh, thanks.
Now, one final question. If an iceberg measuring half a mile in each direction is showing above the water, how much of it is below?
The rest of it. I say, do you mean I've passed? Oh, Lummy.
No. No, no. No, not Lummy, Lumley. Mr. Humphrey Lumley, he went this way, Lumley.
Well, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, you're the ideal subject for our experiment.
Experiment? I thought this was a promotion ball.
Well, if we're right, it will be. Now, just swallow this little pill.
And here's a glass of water to help it down. I'm sorry to wonder with a desk like this, but the soft bottom of my blouse seems to come undone.
Oh, just give him the water, Dr. Carstairs. That's it. Now, down the hatch with the pill.
It's banana flavored. Very nice. What was it?
Well, if we're right, it'll make you the brainiest man in the fleet for a short time and will turn you into a human computer.
Computer? I'll be another Ernie and dish out premium bomb price.
Yes. Well, obviously, it hasn't started working yet. However, when the capsule does start working, you'll be back on Southbridge, Mr. Phillips.
Phillips, sir. No, Sir Lumley Phillips. They're getting nearer.
That's lovely, Norton.
Shouldn't Mr. Phillips be back for now? Come on, Murray.
No, Chief. Probably missed the train, as usual.
Yeah, of course, the snag with Mr. Phillips is that he gets into any old train and assumes the driver will take him to wherever he wants to go.
Yes. You know, sort of mad logic that there are railway lines leading to wherever he wants to go, and it's up to the driver to pick the right one.
Yeah, hello, chap.
Sorry I'm late. I caught the wrong train.
Now, there's a surprise. Well, Mr. Phillips, did you get your promotion?
No, but I'm on the pill. I never knew they'd be banana flavored. I'm going to dish out premium bonds shortly. I'm going to be terribly brilliant before long, and banana flavored as well.
What have they done to Noddy now?
I don't know, sir. Whatever it is, it don't look good.
No, chaps. All I had to do was swallow this. Hang on. I think the capsule is dissolving.
It's normally turning green.
My tummy is feeling terribly peculiar.
Who did that?
Well, don't look at me, sir. It's coming from this middle, not mine.
My word, that feels better.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Now, just a bit. What's been going on in my absence? This ship is slack, sloppy, and slovenly.
Slovenly? That's a long word for you, Mr. Finney.
Now, come now. You must know what it means. It means dirty, untidy, filthy, unwashed, uncared for, shoddy, and unkempt. And if you want it in simpler terms, it means disorder, disarray, farrago, pudder, putter, bobbery, fracas, derangement, and topsy-turvydom. Otherwise known as a pretty kettle of fish, a fine state of things, totally out of order, a fine how-do-you-do, a pig's breakfast. Get this bull out of my china shop or there'll be devil to pay.
Here he spots us on Burke's sector.
You're right, Chief. He's gone off his rocker.
Rocks. For instance, there is rock crystal, which is a colourless, transparent form of quartz. Or there's rock salt, a crude sodium chloride, normally known as NaCl. Then, of course, for the student, there are the rocks that produce precious stones, like, as in rubies from Berber, bauxite from Jamaica, which is a rock rich in aluminium oxide. Then one can go to the common minerals.
Yeah, this is going to be good.
Yeah, like coal.
You'll go off bang in a minute.
Now, coal consists largely of non-crystalline carbon combined with oxygen and hydrogen. It produces the natural hydrocarbons, which constitute petroleums and bitumens. Then there are zircons, which are not strange creatures from some remote planet about to attack that tall, scraggy-looking twit with the beaky nose and the ghastly haircut who plays the doctor.
Who?
Yes, that's right. Actually, besides being a gemstone, it's in many forms, all of which can be found.
And there I was, locked in the laboratory. Experiment 967, oblique stroke A723, Duncan Albert. Male. And just as I reached for the key, he grabbed me around my waist. And
oh, for pity's sake, Dr. Carstairs, we haven't got time to look at your braces again. It is urgent. Now, according to the Ministry of Defense, that banana-flavored pill we got the blonde-headed sailor to swallow has had some rather strange side effects. That's why I've called in Mr. Simpson, who is the chief technician of the Mini Medical Capsule Company.
Sir Humphrey Capsule. No, not Sir Humphrey Capsule, Sir Lumley Capsule. No, still not right.
As chief technician of the Mini Medical Capsule Company, I warned you about possible side effects, didn't I? I did warn you, didn't I? Only asking for an honest answer. Did I not warn you? Now, be honest. Now, tell the truth. Did I not warn you of the danger of the possible side effects? Come on, now. Speak up. Who was it on behalf of the Mini Medical Capsule Company warned you there was a risk of possible side effects? It was me, wasn't it? Who warned you? Me. So having been warned by me makes my company inviolate.
Violet Lumley. Violet Lumley.
Yes. No.
Well, now, according to our report, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips is behaving extremely oddly. The tablet not only has made him brilliant, but seems to have released his private thoughts and opinions as well. And that's not always a good idea. Now, what can he do about it?
Well, I mean, if it will help him at all, I don't mind him undoing the top
button. Oh, but we're not talking about Fugden Albert Mayo. We're talking about Phillips Leslie Clot.
Well, I warned you, didn't I?
Yes.
And now I'm warning you again. I'm warning you that there's nothing you can do, and you just have to wait until the capsule wears off.
Yes.
Oh, I'm warning you, aren't I?
Yes.
I'm warning you, aren't I?
Yes, beginning to sink in. Gradually. Anyway, I dread to think what Sub-Lieutenant Phillips will do tonight when HMS Troutbridge celebrates Admiral Troutbridge's 225th birthday.
Well, it's not my company's fault. Just enter it in the minutes of the meeting that I, Mr. Simpson, did warn you, didn't I?
I thought it. Yes. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I've got it. It's a Humphrey Simpson, Lumley.
Who is?
Oh, I've no idea. I've never met.
Oh, good evening, Captain Povey. Oh, really? For the celebration party? You usually like to turn up an hour or so after it's started.
I know, but has he arrived? What's he done and what he said? Has anybody left because of what he said or what he did?
Yes. Oh, no, sir. I took the precaution of making Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, duty officer.
Oh, good thinking, Martin Murray. After all, this is a very important party. We are celebrating Admiral Troutbridge's 225th birthday, and we can't have that ruined by he.
Exactly, sir. But I've also arranged to have he called, him called, every 10 minutes, just in case he forgets himself. As he did at the Government House party, the High Commissioner's ball, the Lady Mayoress's musical soiree.
I can hardly wait to see what happens tonight.
Neither can I. For a goodwill mission, Mr. Phillips is becoming a one-man disaster. Let's go in and see that he makes it this far.
No, that's not the spirit, Commander. But everyone of importance is aboard. It's up to you and I, as responsible officers of the senior service, to prevent a fellow comrade from making a complete and utter Charlie of himself.
I couldn't agree with you more, sir. Let's go into the wardroom and see if he's arrived. After you, sir.
Good evening, Captain Povey, you bald-headed old coot. Nice to see you.
He's in good form tonight.
And nice to see you too, Commander Murray, you stiff-necked, floppy-eared, stuck-up snob. Can I get you a drink?
What was that? You were right, Murray. He's in good form tonight.
You will excuse me, gentlemen. I must circulate amongst our honored guests with drunken slobs and pompous pricks. Excuse me.
Well, mistress, we must follow him around, Commander Murray. I don't know what was in that capsule, but I haven't had so much fun for a long time.
Good evening, Lady Carpenter. My word, what a pair. I've never seen earrings worn there before. Can I get you a drink?
Well, how kind of you, Mr. Phillips. I take it our little arrangement on the quarter deck is getting well.
Rather. I'm looking forward to it, but not with you, you cat-out old bag. I've got a much better bird in my cabin waiting for me. Gin and tonic, wasn't it?
Well, yes, a large one, thank you.
Duty officer?
You're wanted on the bridge urgently, sir.
Right, I'm having a marvelous time down here. I'll be with you as soon as I can. Thank you for phoning, but you can very well wait. Blasted idiots ring me up on the telephone this time of night. Now, for the telephone. Now, this was invented by Mr. Edison Bell, who was renowned for playing with his own ding-a-ling.
Excuse me, come on, buddy, sir. I believe it's about now that I'm supposed to ask for the duty officer.
Yes, Chief, it is.
Thank you, sir, but I will then. Excuse me, ladies and gents, all assembled. Is the duty officer about?
Yes, Chief, I'm here. Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, RN. Now, RN stands for Royal Navy. I didn't think I'd have to explain that to you, bonehead. Now then, I suppose you could say the Navy was formed by the Charter of 1278, when Edward I made an agreement with the shipowners of the ports of Hastings, Romney, Hythe, Dover, and Sandwich. Now, sandwiches come in varying types. Ham, cheese, smoked salmon, sardine, beef, which comes from Cowes. Now, Cowes is situated on the Isle of Wight, where a great deal of yachting takes place. Now, place, of course, is a fish. Like cod, halibut, hake, sole, and salmon. The latter can be smoked fresh or rock, of course.
Oh, he's out of control now.
Now, for instance, there is rock crystal, which you stupid, ignorant lot of puffed-up stuff shirts wouldn't know, is a colourless, transparent form of quartz. Now, quartz is a word meaning a collection of two pints. Which is hardly applicable to our subject, because seamen obviously weren't given rum by the quart. They were issued it by the top, which was stopped by the orders of the Royal Navy, otherwise known as RN. Is that clear?
Tell me, I reckon the little spring in his teapot is going to go boing, boing, boing any minute now.
We never stand for a cobber like him in the Australian Navy. I agree. I'm absolutely flabbergasted.
I must apologize for that little outburst, Commander Abiker. Mr. Phillips is... it's a bit of an experiment that seems to be going wrong.
Oh, think nothing of it. Incidentally, have you met my navigating officer, Lieutenant Clark? And that's Clark with an E.
How do you do, Lieutenant Clark?
Now, please call me Claude, and that's Claude with an E.
Yeah, my name's Stephen. That's Stephen with an E. But it's in the middle.
Excuse me, Commander Murray. Gentlemen, I'd like you to meet Lady Clementine Bowmaker.
Oh, how do you do, Lady Bowmaker? Welcome aboard. These two officers are from the Australian Navy. This is Commander Abiker, and this is Lieutenant Clark.
Clark with an E.
Call me Clementine. That's Clementine with an E. What a fascinating man Sub-Lieutenant Phillips is. I do know you that rock crystal is a colourless, transparent form of quartz, have you?
Quartz, that's Q, meaning a line of people, or as in billions. And U, meaning not me. A, stuff you feed horses with. An R, for Mo. A T, for two. And Z, for xylophone, if you can't spell. Which I very much doubt if any of you half-cut load of crashing balls can. Now, can, known to the English as tin, which is a mineral like rocks. For instance, if there is a rock crystal... My word, my head hurts.
But I don't suppose this lot gives a damn, which is a colourless, transparent form of quartz. My tummy is not feeling very good either. Now, quartz is a word meaning a collection of two pints, which doesn't apply to us, because seamen weren't given rum by the port. They were given tots by the Royal Navy, otherwise known as RN. Who was that cat had old bag and wanted to see me on the quarterdeck? Good night. Oh.
Well, that must have helped him anyway.
Mr. Phillips, you peekaboo. You still in there, sir? Talk to Jonesy.
Hello, Chief. Left hand down a bit.
Well now, Mr. Phillips, all medical tests say that you're now fully recovered. But just to make sure that you are back to your old self, can you tell the board who was Joan of Arc?
Ah, now that's simple. She was Noah's sister. He's back to normal.
Which is more than could be said of experiment 967 oblique stroke 8723 Southern Albert. Male, most awful.
Oh, dear, Braces is at it again. Now, Mr. Phillips, thank you for your cooperation, but we do feel we owe you an apology. Now, that pill that we asked you to take wasn't entirely successful, so we produced this new one here in front of me on this saucer.
Saucer? A lovely saucer. Oh, a lovely. Humphrey, lovely saucer. Oh, very stupid. It's not good at all. It's still not right.
Now, please don't apologize. Don't think you've been letting me down. But what's this new pill like?
Doc, don't swallow it. Mm. No, it works instantly. Mr. Phillips, don't you?
Raspberry flavor. I like raspberry better. What a great improvement. Now, where was I? Quartz. Now, quartz is a word meaning a collection of two pints, which is hardly applicable to our subject. Where are those lovely earrings?
Leslie Phillips has been taking the pill with disastrous consequences for John Pertwee, Stephen Murray, and all of us in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the Chief Petty Officer, Leslie Phillips was the Sub-Lieutenant, Richard Caldicott was Captain Purvey. Heather Chasen was Dr. Carstairs, Daniel Evans was Professor Lumley, Michael Bates was Lieutenant Claude with an E, Clark with an E, the announcer was Barry Haynes, the show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnson.